good afternoon, every one. Wherever you find yourself, wherever you are, close your eyes for a moment and realize with me. In love, we live and move and have our being. I in love, and love in me. For I and love are one. If I see anything unlike love, it isn't there. If I see anything or hear anything unlike love, it has no power. God is all, and God is the substance of all, and that one substance is love. There cannot be God is love and another. And I will rest now and let love. John says, God is love. God is love, and in him is no darkness at all. And in you is no darkness at all. And that which you thought you did, and that which you thought you left undone, Christ says, neither do I condemn thee. God is all. God looks and God sees love where you appear to be. These mistakes and these shortcomings, these things we thought we did or left undone, require no forgiveness. Maybe what it is that they require is a forgetting. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching for those things which are before me. I press forward for the prize of the high calling of Christ, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, let me share on a personal note so that I might get across to you this feeling of unconditional love. As a child, I grew up in a household that didn't know God. And of course, when you're in a household that does not know God, without God, there's a lot of fear. And the people in this household were afraid, were full of fear, and had no answers in sight. Consequently, they projected those fears onto other people. And it was a very abusive home. Violence was almost, if not daily, at least weekly. And I was the recipient of it. Not only violence, but I would receive long talks at night. And the topic was usually how I was inadequate and no good, and just like my dad. Often my sister would be in bed sleeping, my brother would be in bed sleeping, and I would be standing before my mom and listening to her lecture about how I was no good. And the result of that, as a little child, is that I came to believe it. And so I had a sense of self-condemnation, actually a sense of self-hatred, before I ever even became a teenager. Now, the reason why I bring that up is because I want you to realize, when I tell you this story, exactly how I felt inside. I was interested in God as far back as I can remember. Seven years old. I remember I went to vacation Bible school, and I asked the man talking, I asked him, "Who is God? Where is God?" And he pointed up on the wall and he said, "That's God." And I remember he seemed a little irritated. Maybe it was just me, but he seemed a little irritated that I would ask that. And I looked up on the wall and there was a picture. And I looked at that picture and I looked. And the other children got up and went out to recess to play. And he went out there to supervise. And there I am, 7 years old, staring up at this picture. And I look and I look. And I see a picture of a man. And something in me says, "That's not God, that's a man." Of course, later I came to see that that was a picture of Jesus. But at seven, all I knew was, "That's not God. Where is God?" And so my search started at 6 or 7 years old. But really, it started before I got here. Anyways, by the time I became a teenager, I had read books on Buddhism and Zen and teachings of the Far East in my search for this something called God. One night, I went to hear a spiritual speaker. This man, everybody said, was a spiritual giant. And so I went to hear him talk. And he was so simple. His approach was so simple. He said things like, "It's our business to go about God's business, helping his kids for free and for fun. And it's God's business to take care of us, period." And then he would giggle. And he had a laugh that was contagious and a smile that when it landed on you, you couldn't help but smile back. You could feel the love emanating from this man. And after his talk, I remember there was a long line. There must have been 100 people in line to shake his hand. And something drove me to that line, so I got in line too. And I was feeling at that time what I already described to you. Self-hatred, self-loathing. I did not want to be in my own skin. And I stood in this line to shake this man's hand. And finally it got to be my turn, and I went up and I said, "I really like what you had to say, Chuck." And he shook my hand back, and instead of letting me pass in front of him, something within him made him grab my arm and hold me there. So he held me off to the side while he shook the next person's hand. And then he turned to me and he said, "I'm really glad you were here tonight. Where are you from?" And then he shook the next person's hand. And then he turned to me again and said, you know, tell me about yourself. And then he took the next person's hand. And person after person came up, shook his hand, and he would not let me go. Well, after the last person had shaken his hand, I got the courage to ask for his phone number. And eventually I called him and went down to visit him in Laguna Beach. And he ended up adopting me in the sense that one time we were at one of these meetings where he was speaking and he introduced me as his son. And so you see, unconditional love was extended through him to me and gave me the feeling of acceptance to the point where I could go see him and I could begin to overcome this inappropriate sense of guilt. And I could come to see who I really was. I could begin to start the journey. Now, here's the interesting thing. Because Chuck was from Kentucky, and a man from the hills, beautiful, in his 70s, an old silver-haired gentleman. But what I wanted to say here was that about 3 months later, I went to another spiritual organization to hear another man talk. And this man, his name was Pukar, and he was from the wilds of India. And he was as dark as a dark night, but he was beautiful. Oh, I could see the love emanating from him. I could feel it. And he talked about his love for one of the masters there in India. And I could just feel his devotion. And afterwards, everybody got in line to shake his hand. And yes, I did too. And here's what happened. I got up to the point where it was my turn to shake his hand. And do you know what happened? He shook my hand, and then he grabbed my arm, and he would not let me go. And as each person came up to shake his hand, he held on to me. And it was obvious, it is obvious to me now, that the very presence of God reached right up through Chuck, a white man from the West, and 3 months later reached right up through Pukar, a black man from the East. And somehow through these two, I realized that God and God's love was available to me, and that it did not matter what I had done or thought I had done or left undone, that coming into the very presence of God, there was nothing I could feel but love, because God is love. And if you're in the presence of God, you're in the presence of love. And if you're in the presence of love, you're in the presence of God. And so this started my inner realization of what God's love is, and really what love's God is. And so that's what I want to talk about today. God is love, and in love we live and move and have our being. Now, a couple of years after this experience, I was told by another man that the answer to my problems was to transfer my love to God. You see, I had lost someone that was very dear to me. And I was grieving and in much pain. And this man told me that the only way to get free from this was to transfer my love to God. Well, how do you transfer your love to something you can't see, hear, touch, taste, or feel? That was my question. And so I took it home and I meditated and I contemplated and I wondered. And I picked up a book. And in that book by Joel Goldsmith called The Art of Meditation, there is a chapter called For Lovers of God. And in that chapter, it suggests this. It says, the only way we can love God is by loving God's creation, for God and His creation are one. And so I closed the book and I made the decision that I would love God by loving God as His creation, by loving God in His creation. And I made it my business to focus my attention on the fact that God is inside of everybody and everything. And I started loving God by loving my neighbor. And I had a cat. And the cat would come into the house. I lived by myself. And when the cat would come in, I would say, "Good morning, Father. How are you?" Recognizing that God was inside of this four-legged creature. "Hi, Father, how are you? Are you hungry?" And I would pet God. And I had a plant in the living room. I think it was a wandering Jew. And I would water the plant and I would say, "Hi, Father, how are you feeling today?" And when I went out and went to work, I knew I could not say, "Hi, Father, how are you?" when I came in contact with people, but I could say it in my inner self. And so I would go to work, and I would go to a spiritual meeting, and I would come home. And when I saw people, even in a restaurant, I remember, even with the waitress, I would say, "Hi, how are you?" And inside myself, I would say, "Father, how may I best be of service? What can I give you?" And then I would try to make it my business to do something to pour out my love to the Father as He appeared, as it appeared in creation. And wondrous things happened. Wondrous things. But the biggest happening was what took place within my being. Because you see, I started out pretending, practicing a principle, and just pretending at it. Because I already told you, I did not feel it. I just felt the pain I was in, grieving the loss of a person. And so I started out pretending, and I ended up with the conscious awareness of the living God in the entire creation. You see, I began to feel the presence in that cat. I began to feel the presence in that plant. I began to feel the presence within all living things. I began to feel the presence even in the very house I was living in. And I fell head over heels in love with that presence. And eventually, I felt that presence within myself. Because you see, one night I was sitting in my chair where I used to meditate. And I closed my eyes, and suddenly I was not alone. A presence filled the very space where I was. And there was a tingling feeling on my arm and on the side of my face. And I recognized that presence to be my Father, God, whom sometimes I call Dad or Daddy or Papa. It does not matter. Names aren't important. They never were. What is important is the conscious awareness of the living presence of God in all of our affairs. And I had that. And with that touch of the presence, there came a sense of peace, a feeling that all is well, and that I, God, am right here, and everywhere present. Now, I knew over the next couple of months, the love of God as a living presence enveloping me, going before me, staying behind, blessing people through me, blessing me through people, blessing me through even the elements. I fell head over heels in love with the living, infinite presence of God. And it included that presence appearing as the person I thought I had lost. And so you see, I came to see that God is love. And in love, we live and move and have our being. Now, one other experience, and then that'll be the end of the personal note. About a year later, maybe two, I went to Northern California, to Avila Beach, to a spiritual retreat in order to hear a man talk whom I had heard on a tape. And in the class, in the talk he gave on Saturday night, the talk was called Healing Outside of Time. And what has that to do with love? Well, I'm going to tell you. Essentially, as I sat in that class and I closed my eyes, I began to feel that presence again. Only something different happened this time. And this is what I want you to know, and really what I want you to experience. After I felt that presence begin to envelop me, suddenly I felt lifted out of a physical sense of being, up above my body, up above the conscious awareness of body. And I experienced myself one with that presence, one with infinite love, floating in an infinite sea of love. And just when I thought I could not contain it anymore, the man giving the talk said, "Now we will have a 15-minute break." And I went outside to smoke because 30 years ago I was still smoking. And I lit up my cigarette to try to get grounded. And as I looked around, here is what I felt. I looked at the Pacific Ocean and the sun shining on the waves. And I felt the waves inside of myself and myself in the waves. I was one with the wave. The wave was in me. I looked at the clouds and the sky, and I was in the sky, and the sky was in me. I looked at the trees, and there was my presence, and the trees were within me. I looked at the people, and what a marvelous discovery. I felt my face on theirs. I could feel their face on mine. There was one presence, and I was that. But what was really amazing to me was that the inanimate things were not without this presence. Because I looked at the asphalt, I looked at the telephone poles, I looked at the wires, I looked at the cars, I looked at the buildings, and I felt all of them, even the automobiles inside of myself and myself inside of the automobiles. There was one infinite loving presence, and I was that presence, and that presence was me. But you were that presence, and that presence was you. And so here's what I'm trying to say. In love, we live and move and have our being. And this must become an experience. This is why you were created. And you are still as God created you. You are still this living love presence. This is what you are. Christ said, "And now, Father, reveal the glory that I had with you before the world was." This is the glory that you had before the world was created. Before the world of false selves. Before the world of judgments. Before the world of good and bad. Before the world of guilt complexes. Before the world of self-hatred. Before the world of a tiny self. The glory of God, the living presence, the infinite sea of love is what you are now. For God so loved the world that God gave itself as the world. And when we, through meditation, through prayer, through whatever method you use that works for you, come to this awareness, to the conscious living awareness of that infinite love, then we do live and move and have our being in love and love in us. That is who you are. I wish there was some way to get this across, but it has to be individually realized as it happened to me. You must have your own inner realization of this. And so take that into meditation. In love, I live and move and have my being and love in me. Because this is the truth of your being. All of those things we thought we did, all of those things we thought we left undone. This is why Christ says, this is why it is said, though your sins were as scarlet, you shall be white as snow. Because your real being is white as snow. Now your being is white as snow. Now you are this infinite sea of love. Now this infinite sea of love is you. And so let us be willing to let go of these errors of omission or commission. Let us be willing to forget those things which are behind. We do not have to have forgiveness. We have to forget those things which are behind and reach for this new identity. We have talked about only one self. That's what this is, your real self. You are infinite love being. We have talked about this world coming to an end. And that's what this is, a false sense of the world, a false sense of yourself coming to an end. And that which you really are, infinite love, becoming a conscious, living experience in which you dwell. When I began these talks, it was for one reason only, and that was because I love God, this presence, with all my mind, all my heart, and all my soul. And it is my wish that God will pour out through me a blessing that will help lift you to an awareness of your true identity, of your real self, of the love that is you. That is all. That is the only reason, the only motivation. And there is something else. I read a story once upon a time about a Zen master. And the Zen master said, well, the Zen master lost a close friend. And after the death of his close friend, he was crying. Tears were rolling down his cheeks. And of course, one of the students came up to him and said, look, see? I thought you were teaching non-attachment. Why are you crying? And the Zen master said, yes, it is true. There is only one presence, the infinite presence, but these eyes are crying. And so I think for a while on this journey, we will continue to walk as a soul that loves God, but also at times be lifted up into the altitude of awareness that we are that infinite being. And for a time, we will go back and forth until the heights become our permanent place. And so even though I know from experience that I am the infinite sea of spirit, yet at other times, I love the infinite sea of spirit. And the infinite sea of spirit loves me. And so there is a communion with that spirit, and then there is a union as that spirit. And in the union, one with that presence, the infinite presence of love, there is no account, no accounting of past mistakes. Everything drops away. The false sense of self rolls up like a scroll. And I stand revealed, the living presence of infinite love itself. Let us once and for all stop condemning ourselves for any mistakes we have made. Let us take all of them and roll them up and drop them outside the door of our consciousness. Let us forget that self. And let us step into the awareness of our real self, that which was made before the world was. That self will function in you. That self will function as you. And that self will be a blessing to the world. Let that self function you. And in your meditation, turn over this false sense of self. Let it go. You are white as snow. You are one with the infinite presence. And that presence will function you in a moment you let go. God's blessing was given to you before the world was. You have never left home. You are that presence. That presence is you. In love, we live and move and have our being. And love in us. God's blessings through you, in you,